Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to VidFriends Blog Talk Radio podcast, Living Life and Love. I'm your host, Mark Braxton from Raleigh, North Carolina. For information about VidFriends, Vitiligo, and how to get involved, visit us at www.vidfriends.org. Today's show may not be suitable for listeners with young children. Our topic is trauma, and we're also going to talk about adverse childhood experiences, ACEs. I would like to welcome my guest today, life coach and therapist, April Autumn Sparks. Welcome, April.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mark. How are you doing today?
I'm great. It's a football Sunday. My team is winning, so things are going very well. So I can't complain. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. I am great, and thank you so much for having me today. So as you stated, my name is April Autumn Sparks or April Autumn Jenkins. I am a licensed clinical social work here in the state of North Carolina. I've been working with mostly victims of some kind of violence who have experienced some kind of trauma, whether it has been with a nonprofit organization. I've also worked with universities and colleges throughout the United States, as well as corporate entities and faith-based services. So it's a pleasure to be here today, Mark, to talk with
you about
trauma and traumatic experiences.
Awesome. On that note, for our listeners, can you give them a definition of what trauma is and also tell them a little bit about the ACEs program or what do we consider ACEs?
So let's start with ACEs and then we can get into trauma, right? So an ACE or an ACEs is an adverse childhood experience, right? And so there are several different kinds, whether it's violence, abuse, neglect, witnessing violence in the home, having a family member attempt suicide or die or witness them being killed. And those things lead to several health issues. Some of them is the possibility of someone misusing substances, having some mental health issues and instability with their household, or that can also lead to some physical illnesses, whether it's diabetes, heart issues. And a lot of times we don't make those connections, right? If you're seeing these things happen in your community, they just say, the CDC says, well, hey, this is what happens in that community. But what we know is that even when people can get out of those communities and access health care and all of those things, that particular population, if you have experienced those types of things, those traumas, then you are more apt to develop health concerns around those areas.
Right. Okay. And so do you define trauma, all those things that you experience compiled together that creates, you know, I guess you would say that traumatic experience, which could be what you've witnessed, what you've gone through, health issues, et cetera.
Right. And for me, the way that I'm defining trauma is any instance in life that has a major impact on your well-being, the way that you move, your stability, and your safety.
Right. And you know, our listeners, just to say to you, trauma can be big and small, because a lot of times I think we think it's this big major event, but it could be something small. You know, it could be a child taking a test and they feel like they're not going to do well. We may not see it
Marco,
as a big deal. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, and I was just saying, I'm sorry, that I'm so glad you brought up the big T and the little T, right? Because no matter if it is a big T or a little T, it's how it affects the person that's experiencing that. So I may not feel like taking a test is a huge thing, but someone may get test anxiety, have heart palpitations,
Right.
Not be able to focus, that is a traumatic experience for that person.
Absolutely. And as someone in the education system, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we put everybody in the same box, same category. This child could be having a traumatic experience because they have to take this test or log in on the computer again. So we just don't know.
Right.
I want to talk about this year. I'll call 2020 the year from Hades, just to make it family friendly.
Right.
You know, 2020, right. We have dealt with everything from fires, viruses, you know, racism, the election coming up, unemployment, you know, changes to how we function and move around, killer hornets, bears with nunchucks, and confirmation of UFOs. And I sit here and think, I say, you know, this has been a lot. And if they find Bigfoot by the end of this year, I'm moving to Wakanda or somewhere else, because it's so much happening in one year. Or, you know,
right.
That has happened, you know, starting with January, and every month is something different. And
right.
And I think we are at a point where we are dealing with it in so many different ways. So just from your interactions with people, whether it's friends, whether it's clients, whatever, or whoever it is, you know, how are they, or I'm going to say we, because I'm putting myself in that category, how are we dealing with the effects of the traumatic events of 2020?
So one of the things that I've noticed, there's been an uptick in people reaching out for therapeutic services because
right.
At this present time, we don't have things to distract ourselves from ourselves and everything that's going on. So you mentioned all the things that are happening within this year. But I would like for us to also consider all the things that were happening before this year started, right?
Right.
So if I'm speaking about women of or people of color in particular, there's always been times where people of color had to deal with microaggressions or unemployment or just other different little things that possibly affected you, but they had to push through. Regardless,
right?
And then 2020 comes, and then there's COVID, and then there's quarantine, and then there's
right.
job insecurities, and then there's I need to be a teacher for my child to navigate this online platform, and then I'm online, and then we're all at home, and then.
Right.
Right? So I think a lot has happened, and what I'm seeing is there are things that have become the straw that has broken the camel's back to say, you
right.
know what, I need to talk to somebody about this because this is getting out of hand, right? When what we know is that people of color have been dealing with things for a while now. So
absolutely.
In one vein, I'm like, this is absolutely nuts, right? But at the same time, I think if I want to find a gold lining in this, right, it would be that we are now finding tools to help navigate this terrain that we're in right now.
Right, right. And, you know, and just talking about 2020 and how people are coping, not just 2020, but, you know, with life in itself for generations. But just looking at this year in particular, the way people are coping is just totally different. Like, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly ways people are navigating, as you said, navigating through it. And it's not always pretty, you know. So what are some examples of ways that people are trying to get through everything that's been handed to them?
Well, let's start with some of the negative things that I've seen, and then we'll go to the positive. So
awesome.
I've worked in the domestic violence, sexual violence area for quite some time, and what we found during this time is that domestic intimate partner violence is on the rise. Part of
right.
that is because people never get to leave each other. Well, at the beginning of quarantine, no one got a reprieve from their
right.
partner. So before this, people would go to work or drop the children off or things of that nature, and now everybody's in the house together 24/7. And so there's been an uptick in domestic violence. There's also been an uptick in suicide attempts.
Right.
And so we would say people possibly are utilizing drugs and alcohol a little bit more, where they would go out socially drinking, now we're just drinking in the house constantly,
right,
throughout work,
right,
while
right,
we're on the Zoom. Yeah. And so those are some of the ways that people are not handling it, quote unquote, well. Some of the ways that people are, like, really trying to wrap their head around things is they're taking up hobbies. They're going out,
right,
to walk, meditating, focusing on their health. And as I said earlier, people are reaching out to therapeutic services and for the first time in their life saying, okay, something's not right and I don't know how to do this. What,
right,
what can I do? I've had a lot of people contact their EAP, employee assistant program,
mm-hmm,
to utilize those services that are free to them. So I think that's a positive way that people are really,
yes,
trying to wrap their head around and navigate.
Right. And I've seen a lot of positivity come through it. I say even for myself, I've been doing a lot more writing, where I've always liked to write, but this pandemic has pushed me to write, and write my feelings and thoughts through short stories. And it's been a great thing. But I also feel like it's helped us learn to communicate with each other in different ways through those Zoom meetings, Zoom calls.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it across the country.
Yeah, I would agree that reaching and really being intentional about relationships, and not only relationships in your personal life, but also in your professional life, right? So really,
right,
as you stated, like really focusing on your writing, which has been awesome. You've blossomed. But also like creating different networks, like across states and across,
right,
countries,
right,
which has been really fruitful for a lot of people's careers. So I think that's been awesome as well. Yeah.
And I've said that to myself and to a few friends. I said, you know, although this has been a crazy year, there has been a lot of positive things that come out of it. And one is the way you interact with people. It has slowed us down. Now we have to talk. We have to communicate. Before, I think life was so fast that we see people and everybody becomes a blur. You know, oh, I see you in passing, I'm gone, you know.
I agree. And I love that you said relationships and really focusing on our relationships. It's also, and I always go back to self, it's encouraged us to really look at the relationship that we have with ourselves, because we,
right,
can't be distracted from ourselves. We're with ourselves 24/7. And when I say that, people are like, of course you're with yourself all the time. But are you intentionally with yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Are you intentionally taking care of yourself, like really looking at your thoughts and your behaviors? And this,
right,
time, as you said, has really slowed us down to consider some of the things that we do that we like and some of the,
right,
things that we don't like.
And, you know, as we look at different tools, I want to talk about that for a moment, that we have within ourselves that we don't utilize all the time. And one is laughter.
I think
we forget how to laugh. When things are heavy, I get it. They are heavy. But at some point, you got to be able to take that stuff off your shoulders and laugh a little. Laughter is very therapeutic. I always say that.
It is. It really is. And that's one of those things that you'll always have to focus on. That it's good to have these, you know, like meditation and all of those things, but,
right,
reaching for the simple ones that when you're in crisis, it's really the easiest way to go. One that I often point out to my clients is the simplest one that we often forget, which is breath.
Right.
Taking,
right,
deep cleansing breaths, really through your nose and out your mouth, taking 10 to 15 seconds to really take some deep breaths. It really warms your heart when you do that. And it expands
right.
your lungs and gets oxygen flowing and your blood pumping. And that puts your mind in a different space. And I think we often forget to utilize that tool. And so
right.
I encourage you to utilize that one, and you will instantly feel a difference.
Right. Very important. And we have this, we know life has changed. Our work patterns have changed. You know, we're on the computer all the time. I get it. But also take time for yourself to shut the computer down, you know, get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that helped me out through this pandemic was walking. In the beginning, I was walking every
mm-hmm.
day
until
it got hot. Then I said, no, it's too hot to walk. I'm not walking in 100-degree weather. But I mean, no, I would get out, and it was just therapeutic for me to put my earbuds in, listen to music, and walk. And I just
mm-hmm.
enjoyed it. And I still
right.
like to get out to walk. And I would share a little funny story about walking, and I don't mind
mm-hmm.
sharing with our listeners, because you got to laugh at yourself at times. So I actually went on a date out to the park. It was great. It had a waterfall. And so we decided to walk on the rocks. And, you know, myself, I'm, you know, being cool and, oh, this is nice and beautiful. You have to watch out for the water trails. They're very tiny trails of water. And I saw it. I thought I stepped over. In my mind, I did. And I stepped right on it. I slid. And I'm sliding. And I'm thinking, I hope I don't knock it down. This is one of our early dates, and, you know, I don't want to hurt her. And I'm thinking, okay, I didn't hit my head, but I'm sliding. So, you know, we get up, and she's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm thinking, yeah, I just slipped. I stepped on the water trail. But we continue with the date, and I'm just thinking, oh, I'm a little wet. It was worse than that. It looked like, and I know this is where laughter comes in, because you got to laugh at yourself. I'm walking through the park, but it looked like I pooped on myself. And it was green, it was brown. It was nasty looking. But in my mind, I thought, oh, it's just water, you know, but it looked really nasty. But we continue, because I feel like with everything we're dealt with, you got to be able to laugh and laugh at yourself and be like, you know what, it's going to be okay. Let's just keep moving on with life, you know. And other people will laugh with you, you know. What are some other tools? As we move on, because I don't want us to lose track of time, but what are some other tools that we can use to help us navigate through all these experiences that we're being thrown?
Yeah, so you said we're at a screen most of the day, and I have been doing therapeutic services through telehealth as well, and I'm very intentional between clients to stand up and walk away from my screen and stretch, to take
right.
to give your eyes a rest. It's really important, because you sit here and you stare at this every day, and your mind just kind of goes numb. And so
right.
to walk away, close your eyes, take some breaths, stretch, and then go at it again. At least 5 minutes every hour. 5 minutes
okay.
that you are stepping away to get away for yourself. Take that time. And a lot... I've had to really challenge my clients, because they'll say, that's a lot. Like, I don't have 5 minutes. And when
right.
I say that out loud to them, like, okay, so you work 8 hours. So 8 hours, 5 minutes out of each hour, that's 40 minutes. So you're saying basically you don't have 40 minutes to yourself in a day.
Right.
That
wow.
sounds crazy. Yeah.
Well, you put that into perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah. So what do you think, making it 10 an hour then? Are you worth that?
Right.
So really thinking about how much time do you give to yourself? Because what we tend to do is put ourselves last.
Right,
and when
right.
we even start talking about putting ourselves first, people are like, oh, that sounds very selfish. Well, I always go back to when I'm on an airplane, pre-COVID. When I'm on an airplane
right.
and they say, if we lose pressure, an air mask will fall from the sky, right?
Right.
Please affix your own mask before you help anyone else. What are you doing to take care of yourself? Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to take care of our kids. Yes, we have to do these things. But what are you doing to take care of you? And you have to, because if you don't take care of you, no one will.
Absolutely. I posed the same question to my coworkers in the school system. I said, you know, we take care of kids every day, even virtually now. But what are we doing to take care of us? Because if we're not well, how are we going to teach? You know, if we're constantly in and out the doctor's office, hospital, how are we teaching? So we have to do what we have to do to take care of ourselves, you know. That's very important.
It is. Very, very important. And so just making a plan of that 5 minutes. What are you going to do?
So 5 minutes plan, everyone, 5 minutes.
5 minute plan every hour.
So I'm going to practice that, which I kind of do when we're doing our virtual classes. I walk away from the computer. I walk to the other building. I walk through the halls, and I'll come back because I said I can't do it anymore. I can't just sit here and stare at the screen. Let me take a break, and then I come back and I'm ready.
Yep.
And that really helps. So, April, as we move forward, I don't want us to run out of time. So let's talk about therapy and counseling. Let's talk about the myths behind it and why it's important.
So I think, and I always point to people of color, I think people of color don't feel that they should talk to anyone because their problems are just that, their own problems. And they should figure out a way to just push through it. Just, I need to just get through it. Well, sometimes in life, we have tools and we utilize those, but those tools don't always continue to work, right? Things change, people change, the world changes, like now. And so sometimes you need to learn different skills and tools to navigate, right? And sometimes there are things that we need to heal from to be able to move forward. Sometimes we may have these ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, that have us stuck in mentalities, stuck in behaviors, stuck in relationships. And so, again, therapeutic services can help you navigate through, heal from, and move forward in your life. So I won't say that I feel like everybody needs therapy, quote unquote, but I feel like everyone needs someone to talk to and help.
Absolutely.
Kind of process some of the things that they've been through.
Now, you have resources that you can share. I'm going to ask it once we hang up, if you would email those to me. And what I'll do send them out on my personal page and send them out to our VidFriends page and some of the other organizations. Now, I just got a quick text question. You're originally from Houston, Texas, correct?
I am. The Houston area.
Okay, so you're from, okay, good. Well, before we end, we have one of our members of our vitiligo community who is celebrating her 90th birthday. That is Mrs. Vivian Houston of Houston, Texas. And
happy
it says
birthday.
She's newly died. Yeah, so we're going to wish her a happy, happy birthday. It's very important to wish people their happy birthdays. And, you know, we all want to reach that benchmark of 90 plus, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, standing up, shouting, happy birthday. Yes.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
So, Ms. Houston, happy birthday. I'm not sure if she's listening, but we're definitely wishing her a happy birthday. And, but yeah, this has been a great conversation, April. I greatly appreciate it. So
thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime. You know, I feel like it was necessary for our community, not just vitiligo, but people as humans, that we get information about our experiences with what's happening in the world today, what happened yesterday, 50 years ago, because it all still weighs on us heavy. We're still having the same experiences. At least we have some tools that we can go away with, or it can open up further dialogue in the future.
Exactly. Exactly. And, yes. If you don't handle your past and learn from it, you are doomed to repeat it. So
Absolutely. Yeah. And for our parents out there, I'm going to say this. Feel free to talk to your kids. I know sometimes you feel like your children may not understand. They understand more than what you realize, and they can have those conversations with you. And I'm even talking about some of our elementary school kids. They're on the know, like from third, fourth, and fifth grade up. Maybe some of the younger kids may not understand, but they can have those same conversations. Talk to them about virtual learning, how it's affecting them, what they're seeing in the world, how does it affect them, you know, and ask them what are some things that you can do to navigate through it. Because our kids have a lot of great answers, and don't push them to the